You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Thank you. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. Happy Mother's Day. We all originally came from our mothers, so we want to say thank you for giving us the gift of life. And if you are a mother, if you are a stepmother, if you're a mother that had to step in when someone else was looking for a mother figure, if you are a person that has longed to be a mom, we like to celebrate moms that come in all shapes and sizes and all different varieties. Some people never had the gift of becoming a mother on their own, and we still celebrate you today. And let me just tell you, if you have forgotten that today is Mother's Day, and this is a surprise to you, we have Mother's Day cards available for you in our restrooms, so do not leave today without grabbing one of those Mother's Day cards. We're trying to ease the tension in your home. So they are for you. You can't buy them. They're our gift to you. Your tithe money already bought them. So let me just say, we're trying to make sure that things go really well for you this weekend. You're welcome. But those are available for you, so if you forgot to get a card, hey, at least make yourself just fill it home, make sure that you get one of those, and I think things will go much easier for you for the rest of the week. And so those are for you. Hey, I want to say a very special welcome to all of our friends watching all around the world. Can we give a big welcome to all of our online friends? Thank you. If you like the message that you hear today, or even if you don't like it, would you consider sharing this with your world? But we have people watching today from all over the place. We have people watching in Arkansas, hello. We have people watching from Albertville, France. Hello, Barry family. Love you guys. People watching from Kansas. Hey, Grant. We have people watching from Nottingham, England. So I think that's Pastor James's parents. So hey, he's here. He's well. So happy Mother's Day from across the pond. It's evening for you, but he's doing well, and we're keeping him in line just for you, Mom. We have people watching from Arizona. Hello, Hamiltons. We're glad that you guys could tune in with us. We have John watching from the airport in Tyler. Come on, somebody. So happy Mother's Day to you, John. Grab your Bibles, if you would. We're going to spend some time in the book of Matthew. We're going to spend some time in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, specifically. I want to say thank you for your generosity. You guys are faithful. You're giving here, and you're trusting us with your finances. That is not lost on me that we are in a down economy. Many people are very afraid. There's inflation, and you guys are still giving and standing behind us financially. It is making a world of difference. Hey, this week we were able to send a team to Marietta, Oklahoma. They've lost their grocery store. So there was a lot of people that just needed fresh produce and groceries. And so as our team was unloading groceries, people were loading it in the back of cars like it was going that quick. And let me just say, on behalf of all those people who just needed a helping hand when storms hit last couple of weeks ago, just let me just say thank you. You guys are an amazing, generous church. We were able to say yes at the last possible minute just because you guys have given over and above. And it means the world to me and to us here in Longview and people around the world. It means the world to us. So thank you for that. Also, we were able to provide some breakfast for a couple of schools, Judson Middle School and then Ware Elementary. We provided a teacher appreciation breakfast for them. We gave them Chick-fil-A. Come on, somebody. The Lord's chicken. I know those teachers appreciate that very much, so that's on behalf of you. So I just want to say thank you to all of those who are serving in various needs throughout our community. We love you, and our church stands behind you and all the great things that God is doing, even in our classrooms. So happy Mother's Day to all of you that are watching. And then let's get into God's words. We're going to continue on with our series called The Unmentionables. The Unmentionables, those that are not mentioned by name, those that don't get the Class A status. They're not the Peters and the Pauls, Abrahams, Isaac, Jacobs, Moses, even Jesus. But these are the people that we don't know by name, that they just don't get enough face time. And so we're digging into different examples of what it may look like to not know a person this side of heaven, but to learn a lot about the things that they walk through and kind of where Jesus found them. So Matthew chapter 15 is where we're going to go. And we're going to get to kind of take a look into a story of a mama bear. Come on, anybody have a mama bear? Where are the mama bears? Where are you at? Let me hear you, mama bear. This is a mama bear. This is someone that was willing to fight for her children. So a mother approaches Jesus. She has a demon-possessed daughter, and she is desperate. And the things that happen in this situation are so applicable to today and right where we are. I think it's important that we listen and turn our attention to what God is saying through this simple chapter and a simple story that maybe you've read it before, but there's some things that jump out to us that I think we need to pay attention to. So this is Matthew 15. And it says, a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Notice Jesus didn't say, that's just a two-year-old little girl. They all go through that. No, no, no. This is something much, much different than that. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. And look at this. This is interesting. Jesus did not answer a word. You ever been in a place that you were desperate and you're praying and you feel like your prayers are just hitting a ceiling, they're hitting the wall, or they're just not getting through, you're not hearing anything back from the Lord? That's scriptural. That happens to more than just me and you. Jesus didn't answer. We preach great sermons about the times that Jesus answered. What about the times where he didn't? Jesus did not answer a word. Here is the word made flesh. The word had no word. Jesus didn't answer. So then his disciples came to him and urged him, Lord, send her away. She keeps crying out after us. She's bugging us. If you're not going to do anything, if you're not going to answer her, then send her away. Like, this is getting a little crazy, a little disruptive. Jesus answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. In other words, this ain't for you. This is to this group of people. This is not for you. That's a little insulting. She's gone from being ignored to being insulted. And it gets worse. The woman came and she knelt before him. The original language says proskuneo. She falls at his feet in worship. This is the word that we use for falling prostrate before the Lord. Now, many people have mispronounced that word and brought a lot of levity to a lot of services. But it literally means falling on your face before the Lord, saying, I'm desperate. I got to have you move here. She falls on her face in worship before the Lord. And she says, Lord, help me. You ever been there? You ever been in a desperate place? Lord, I need your help. Help me. And look at what happens. Jesus replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. I'll tell you what, you don't see Jesus respond to people much in this manner. This goes from ignored to insulted to even a deeper insult. So obviously Jesus has something working here that's much deeper than just, I ain't got time for you, get out of here, and insulting someone. This is not the Jesus that we know. This is not the character that we've come to understand from our Christ. But yet scripture is very clear about what Jesus says and the manner in which he says it. It's not right, he said, to take the children's bread and throw it to a dog. But I love her response. She said, yes, it is. Yes, it is. That reminds me a lot of my mother. She's that kind of person. Oh, yeah? She's one of those kind of people. Yes, it is. And she says this. I love this. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She said, I'll take the crumbs. I'll take anything left over. I am desperate for a move of God. You have to help me, Lord. And then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Say those two words, great faith. Let it be that we are always a people of great faith. What does great faith look like? Many times in scripture, Jesus says, oh, ye of little faith. You've got such little faith. You don't believe God for the big things. You're not desperate enough. You're not at a place where you can really rely on God. You kind of rely on what you can do and what you can make happen. But he says, this is a woman who says, Lord, I've got to have you move. Only you can do this. I can't fix my little girl. Help me. Jesus says, oh, you've got great, great faith. He says, your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. You know, to people that were looking on the outside, this might have looked like one of those suddenly miracles where Jesus spoke and suddenly it happened. But this is honestly a big battle with this woman having to fight through a lot of suffering to get to this place where there could even be a suddenly moment. And oftentimes what people may see on the outside is, wow, that was just an instantaneous breakthrough. That was an instantaneous healing. Like, no, you didn't see the other side of the story. It took a lot. And this mama bear fights through being ignored and being insulted, fights through the crowd, fights through people pushing her away because she is desperate for a move of God. And Jesus says, oh, that is great faith. You guys need to pay attention. He says to his disciples, look at this. That's great faith. That's what it looks like. So there's some lessons that we can learn from this woman that has great faith, this mama bear that just refused to quit. There's some powerful things that still speak into our lives right where we are today. It's important to also notice that Jesus is 50 miles outside of his own country. And this is one of only two times in scripture that we see Jesus has ever ventured outside of his own country. And we don't know of any other interactions that Jesus had with anybody except for this one woman. Because Jesus says he goes into this vicinity, this woman presses through the crowd, and then Jesus goes on from there back into his own country. He goes 50 miles. Now, 50 miles may not be that big of a deal for us that live in the age of the car, but this is 50 miles, as we used to say in Spanish, by Patamoville. You're rolling on your feet. Walks 50 miles to encounter one woman to show his disciples great faith, a desperate mama bear. What does that show me today? It shows me that there are no lengths that Jesus won't go to for someone who has faith enough to believe that he is all that they need. He's all that they need. I want to give you three things that I think are important. The first of those, if you're a note taker, you might want to write this down. Number one, I don't have to understand God to know that he's able. I don't have to understand God to know that he's able. And the reason why I say it that way is because I found that one of the biggest obstacles that many people ever have to seeing breakthrough and supernatural things happening is they can't get past their own mind of what they think it needs to look like, how God should do it, or once I understand it, then I'll know how to present it to God, or then I'll know what to ask for. And we get locked into this mindset of, I have to understand it before I can believe for it. I need to understand it first. God, explain it to me. How does this happen? Whose fault was this? Do I need to repent of this? Do I need to figure that out? What does the Bible say about this? Instead of just saying, Lord, I don't know. I don't have it all figured out, but I know that you can. You don't have to explain it to me. I just believe that you're good enough to do it. I don't have to understand God's ways to still believe that he's able. He can do it. There are multiple things inside of God's word that I have no clue how that happened or why it happened. I have no clue the circumstances around it, but it's in there. And here is this woman coming to Jesus. And I want to remind you of this. She wasn't raised in the Jewish faith. This is a Canaanite woman. She's an outsider. She's a Gentile. There's a long-standing feud between the Canaanites and the Israelites. These are considered outsiders, Gentiles. They call them dogs in this culture. And by the way, there's a little hint at why Jesus calls her a dog. He's showing his disciples the depths of their racism and the separation of people groups. Jesus is showing how they have treated people that were desperate for a move of God. He's saying, you see what's happening? This lady doesn't even understand the things that you've understood. She hasn't seen the miracles that you guys have seen. This woman has just heard about the good news of Jesus Christ, and she believes without understanding. She has more faith than some of you do. She wasn't raised with the understanding and the knowledge. She wasn't raised with Sunday school. She wasn't raised with all those Wednesday night youth sessions. No, she just believes. That's great faith. There are other scriptures where Jesus says, oh, it's even better for those who have not seen yet still believe. By the way, that's us. We don't get to walk next to Jesus and watch him perform the miracles like they did. And multiple times throughout scripture, Jesus looks at his disciples and says, where's your faith? Like, there are people 2,000 years from now in Longview, Texas are going to have some more faith than you guys have. And Jesus has to stand up and calm a storm because they just don't believe that he can. Why? Because they don't understand it. I don't get this. Great faith doesn't mean you have to have great understanding. Now, that doesn't mean, by the way, that you shouldn't want to know more about God. You shouldn't want to understand his ways. We should, but you don't have to have it to believe that he is able. I want to make sure you see this. I'm going to put it on the screen. If I'm not careful, my faith will die where my understanding ends. My faith will die where my understanding ends. Let that never be said of us, that I have to understand it before I believe that God can do it. Let me just tell you, if his word says he can do it, he can do it. His word says God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I can ask or think or even imagine. I can't think big enough to understand the power of a massive, mighty God. I don't have to understand it to believe he's able. This woman believes that he's able without understanding. She doesn't know. She doesn't have the training. I found in some instances that there are people that have no idea what they're doing, that God just moves on them and great things begin to happen. Why? Because they believe. They believe that he can. And I've heard stories after stories. I'm a church history person. I love to look at the old accounts of what happened when God did mighty moves. And you're going to find over and over God used ignorant and uneducated people. There's a lot of hope for me. That's just the kind of people that God used. People that don't know any better, but just believe that he can. Come on, somebody. I don't know, but I believe he can. You see, faith isn't about knowing more. It's about having confidence in God. I don't know, but I have confidence that he can. So I don't have to understand all of God's ways to believe that he's still able. And of course, this woman is confused. She doesn't understand why Jesus isn't answering her. She doesn't understand why Jesus insults her, why Jesus calls her a dog. How could she? She doesn't see the big picture of what Jesus is teaching here with these all-encompassing racist things that are happening between one culture and the next. She doesn't care about that stuff. Why? Because my daughter needs help. I don't care about those things. I don't care about your political ties. My kid needs help. Well, you don't understand this. This is a long-standing feud. I don't care. Why? Because my kid. All I know is Jesus. I need help. Only he can help me. She doesn't understand those old feuds and a lot of bad blood in between people and the things that Jesus is trying to teach his disciples. She doesn't understand any of those things, but she still believes that God can. And it shows us today that sometimes we get lost in all the things that we think we have to figure out before we can watch God move. Let me just remind you, you're never gonna have God figured out. Not ever. Not this side of heaven will you ever know. But here's another thing that I see, that when God moves, old wounds can become new testimonies. And Jesus goes 50 miles outside of his way to heal an old wound and bring about a new testimony to show his disciples that the Gentiles are believing in me. What an amazing thing. I'm thankful for that, by the way, because that includes people like me. I'm not Jewish. I'm maybe Mexican. Who knows? But I'm thankful that Jesus begins to preach a gospel that wasn't just to the Jewish people, but includes people like you and people like me. I don't understand it, and I wasn't raised in the synagogue. I wasn't raised memorizing the Torah, but I've got some faith. I believe my God is able. I've seen him do it. So you don't have to understand all of God's ways to still believe he can do it. Here's the second key I want to show you from this story that I think is important for us today. When I don't get an answer, I'm going to keep asking. When I don't get an answer, I'll keep asking. For those of you that have had the privilege and the high honor of being parents, you understand that there is one place that you simply don't go. There is one aisle at Walmart that you don't take those little kids down that aisle unless you want to see demons come out. And that is the toy aisle at every Walmart. Don't do it. Don't do it because they're going to come unglued. Between the ages of about 3 to about 104, you don't walk them down that aisle because they will not stop. They won't forget the things that they see. It is like the blessings of the Lord. Like, I'll take some of that. I'll take some of that. I'll take some of this. And they think for a moment that you're just rich and can buy anything. Well, we're buying all this other stuff. What about this stuff for me? We need that. Well, I won't eat for a week. I just want this. And I remember taking my kids down that aisle, and I'm thinking, that's a rookie mistake, man. What in the world? Because they ask, and they never forget. Like, they'll forget to clean their rooms. They'll forget what happened yesterday in school. They will not forget the toy that they saw that you have denied them. Daddy, give me, daddy, give me, daddy, give me, daddy. Please, 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 please. Now, after a while, I get angry about it, and I'm like, stop. The answer is absolutely no. Don't ask me again. You know who's not like that? Your Heavenly Father. As a matter of fact, persistence isn't annoying to God. It pays off in big ways. In multiple scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, Jesus over and over re-emphasizes the power of persistence. I wonder how many breakthroughs have we not seen because we stopped praying? How many breakthroughs have we not seen because we stopped believing? How many times do we get frustrated and quit? Because we believe that we're just annoying God. He's not listening. This woman got ignored. She gets insulted, but she keeps asking and keeps asking, keeps asking, keeps persisting. Persistence pays off in massive ways in the kingdom of God. He didn't get upset when you keep asking. As a matter of fact, he encourages us. He says, ask, seek, knock. He says, it'll be given to you. Keep going. Keep asking. Another scripture says, Jesus taught his disciples that they should always pray and never give up. Never give up. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Never give up, because persistence pays off. I can't stand it, but God apparently can. Don't make the mistake that our parenting is the same as God's parenting. I remember another scripture. This is another chapter in Matthew where Jesus talks about there's a neighbor that has guests come in the middle of the night, and he starts talking to his other neighbor like, you got to help me. He's like, I'm asleep. He's like, oh, no. You're my neighbor. You're going to get up and help me. Like, I'm asleep. Like, oh, no. I'm going to keep knocking until you get up. And he says, this is exactly how it is in the kingdom. Keep asking. Keep asking. There's another scripture where it says a widow was denied justice, and so she just hung out in front of the judge's home. Keeps knocking on his door like, you're going to give me justice? Look at this in Luke 18. Jesus says, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. Those suddenly moments, those big breakthroughs that we're asking for on behalf of those that we love, those powerful moments where people come back to Christ and lives begin to change, those might look like suddenly to everybody else, but not to those who have been persisting. I was talking to a lady one time who had been praying for 15 years for her child to come home. 15 years over this kid that just refused to ever turn his heart back to Christ. She's like, he knows better. I've been praying for my son for 15 years. I said, don't you ever get tired of praying for him? I know that's a long time. She says, no, I'm 15 years closer to the breakthrough than when I started. I like that kind of faith. She says, I'm 15 years closer. I can't stop now. I believe that God, he can. And so when God doesn't answer, I keep asking. Why? Because if I love someone, their needs become my needs. And this is important. I want to make sure you see this on the screen. If you love somebody, it's not them going through something. It's us. This is one of the ways that we know that we truly love someone. So if they don't have it, we don't have it. If they're struggling, we're struggling. If they're walking through a dark season, we're walking through a dark season. Because if their needs become my needs and I start praying and asking the Lord for those things, God hears that. If you love somebody, their needs become your needs. It's us. We're in this together. Here's the third and final thing I want to share with you. Number three, when I don't get the answer that I want, I'll praise anyway. This may be the hardest thing that most believers will ever have to walk through, when God doesn't do what you wanted him to do. And I've seen this tear apart more fragile Christians than perhaps anything else. When you're believing that God would heal and he doesn't, when you're believing that God would come through and he doesn't, when you're believing God for a certain way that he should do things, and you believe it's the right thing and you've seen it in scripture, but God, you did it for them. Can you do it for me? And you believe and you had faith, and then God says no. What happens in those moments? Can it be said of us that we just trust him? Lord, I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep believing. And even when the answer isn't what I wanted it to be, I'm going to praise you anyway. Why? Because I believe he's still good, whether I like his answer or not. And here's a woman that keeps believing in faith for a daughter, even when the answer doesn't come and when she gets a different answer than what she was hoping for. Jesus insults her. Says, I'm not going to take the children's bread and throw it to a dog like you. But I love her attitude. She said, I'll take the crumbs. I'll take the crumbs. I'll take anything. I'm desperate. You don't have to throw me a whole slice of bread. I'll take the crumbs. Why? Because when you're hungry, your taste buds change. When you're really hungry, you'll take anything. And when you're desperate for a move of God, you'll take anything. And this is when Jesus says, oh, sister, you got great faith. I love that. Because even God's crumbs are better than nothing. I'll take the crumbs. You see, I found this to be true, that sometimes great faith, when Jesus says you've got great faith, sometimes that's measured in disadvantages and desperation. We love to be people that have great faith. We love to talk about great faith. We love stories of great faith until it's us that has to actually believe that God can do it. Multiple times throughout Scripture, great faith was measured in those that had nothing and just simply relied on the goodness of God. And she says, Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter has a demon and she is suffering terribly. I am desperate and I'm willing to fight through being ignored. I don't have the luxury of being insulted. I don't care. My kid needs help. And Jesus says, that is great faith. Have you ever had to keep praising God even when the answer that you wanted didn't come? Let me just tell you this. If you've never been in that situation, keep living. It's kind of a rite of passage for believers. There's going to be a time in your life where you're believing God for some breakthrough that doesn't come through the way that you think it should come through. And let me just ask you, if that was the kind of God we serve, where he just did whatever we wanted and gave us the things that we asked for in the way that we asked for them, who's God in that situation? Come on. And we start serving some sort of different version of God that kind of becomes more like Santa Claus than God. Let me just remind you, he's God and he is able, but he knows things that you don't know. But his ways are perfect and his character is good. He's still sovereign. Even when I get the answer that I wasn't expecting, that I didn't like, I will praise him anyway because he's good. For those of you that know my story, you know that I had to walk through the ending of my marriage. This was years ago, 16, 17 years ago. This was a difficult time for me. I was in ministry and I went to my pastor and he had been walking through me through this situation for a long time. And after detox and rehab and trying to get my wife into a place where we could even address the issues in our marriage, it was evident that it was over. And of course, that created a lot of problems in the church. People didn't like that at all. And I didn't like it either. It's not something that I chose. It's not my fault, but it's my fate. And so I tried to resign, and of course, my pastor wouldn't let me, and I was leading worship and leading young adults at the time, and I said, Pastor, I don't think I can do this. I can't stand up there and minister. My heart is broken. He's like, that's where good ministry comes from. He said, our people in the church that are willing to stand by you, they need to see you, that you're still walking through that and still praising God in spite of that. That's where good worship comes from. That's where the good messages come from. That's where your authenticity comes from. That's the good stuff. He says, keep praising God. Keep preaching the word. Keep standing in the gap. Keep praying for people, even when the answer that you wanted didn't come in the way that you thought it would come. See, my marriage wasn't restored. And it got a lot worse before it ever got to the place where we could even be in the same room together. But let me just remind you, our God does incredible things. And even in the ashes of my life, because I continue to praise God and do what God had called me to do, because I'm standing in my purpose saying, Lord, I don't understand it. You've done great things for other people. You've done great things for other marriages. I've seen you do it. I've laid hands on people and watched you heal them. I've watched you do great things in the restoration of people that I didn't think could ever be restored, but yet it doesn't happen for me. And I'll praise you anyway. Not because my situation is good, not because I'm good, but because you're good and you're still worth my worship. This woman with a demon-possessed daughter falls down at the feet of Jesus, and she doesn't get the answer that she wants, but she praises him anyway. Let that always be said of us, that whether the circumstances are good or the circumstances are bad, he's still worthy. Let me just remind you, I believe God is still good even when my circumstances are bad. Whatever your circumstances may look like today, I want to remind you, God is still good. He's still worth your worship. If we only praise him in the good times, that's not real worship. If we only praised him when circumstances were great, when we got everything that we wanted, that's not a real relationship. But we praise him because he's good, because he's right, because we trust him even when things don't work out the way we think they should work out. So maybe your life is in a mountaintop right now. Things are going great. Your job is great. Your marriage is great. Your kids are doing great. And you're on a place where you're like, I have a lot to be thankful for. Praise him because you're on the mountain and keep living. For others in this place, life has taken a downturn. This is a difficult season and you're walking through a valley. Let me just remind you, nothing grows on the mountain. Things grow in the valley. And I say that because I've been there. I know what it's like to praise God when things are good. And I absolutely know what it's like to praise God when things are not good. When it's hard, when my worship costs me something, when it's difficult to even make the words come out. But the stories that we learn from a mama bear that won't quit, that keeps pressing through until Jesus begins to move on her behalf, those stories still apply to us today. They bring me strength. They bring me encouragement. They bring me hope. It's a reflection of my life. It's a reflection of yours. And whether you're in a mountaintop experience or whether you're desperate, let me just remind you, God is good. Worship him. Praise him. Keep praying. Keep believing. Never give up. Never give up hope. Our God is the God of hope. And even when it doesn't work out, he's still good. And Jesus commends great faith from people that are walking through difficult circumstances, just like us. Can you receive that? Is that okay? Yes. As we finish up today, I want to give you a chance to respond. How many of you would say, by the simple lifting of your hands, how many of you would say, hey, I've been praying about something for a while and I haven't really seen any movement on that. Can I just see your hands? Can we just be honest today? If you're watching online, can you just type a little hand emoji in the chat and say, that's me, I'm praying something for something and I'd like to see some movement on this. We're believing that today is a day of breakthrough for you. Today is a day of desperation where we're just gonna say, Jesus, help me. Help us. And I'm not gonna worry about the outcome. It doesn't have to look like what I think it should look like. It needs to look like what you want it to look like, Lord. How many of us would say with all due honesty, hey, I'm in a valley right now. This has been a low season of my life and I could admit that. This is where I am. Can I just see your hand all across this place? Yeah. Yeah. Here's the good news. You're not alone and you're in the right place. And if we can be honest about where we are, I think Jesus rewards that. I want to remind you, this woman comes and falls at the feet of Jesus and she doesn't say, let me talk to you privately. It's a family matter about my daughter. She says it, look, we're in a desperate place. My kid is suffering and I need help. And I don't care if you ignore me. I don't care if it's an insult. I need some help. And Jesus rewards that, says that's great faith. How many of you would say in all honesty, this has been a really good season and I'm afraid that it might be ending, but I won't even think like that. It's been really, really good and I'm worried that I can't even really enjoy it as much as I wanna enjoy it because things have gone really well for us. And I wanna be able to make sure I praise God when things are going good too. And this has been a good season. Where are you guys at? Let me just see you. That's what I'm talking about. Praise him on the mountain. Praise him in the valley. Praise him for the breakthrough that you don't see. Praise him for the circumstances that may not look great. He's still good. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? For everyone that lifted a hand, I'm just gonna start praying for you right now. And for those of you that had a lifted hand, just receive this if that's okay. For everyone else that was that hadn't lifted a hand and needed one of those things, would you begin to pray for those people around you that are walking through one of those situations? We're gonna believe that God hears the prayers of his saints like his word tells us that he does. We're gonna believe God for breakthrough today. Father, would you bless my friends that are walking through all kinds of different situations. There are circumstances in this place, Lord, that are desperate for a move of God. And Lord, when we pray together, I believe that we can join our faith together. And I may not have enough for one person or someone else may not have enough, but Lord, together we're believing that our combined faith in this room can move mountains. We ask, Lord, for healings. We ask, Lord, for the prodigals. We ask, Lord, for situations that are beyond our control. Lord, we can't fix those, but you can. Lord, we ask, Lord, for our children and for our grandchildren. We ask for those that are far away from you. Lord, we ask for their restoration to you. We ask for hearts to be softened. This would truly be a Mother's Day to remember where you came through and did what we could not. Father, we praise you for the mountains. We praise you for the good times, and we praise you in the valleys when it's not so good. You're good. even if the situation is not. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do, whatever is most pleasing to you, whatever it is according to your will, Lord, we say, yes, we trust you. In Jesus' name. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, one last question. Perhaps you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, if I'm going to be honest with you, I don't have a relationship with Jesus and I want one. My friend, you're in the right place. You may have come today just to honor your mother, but the Lord brought you here on purpose for this moment. He wants a relationship with you. And as a matter of fact, if you could see it, God himself is reaching down his hand to you right now. The only question is, will you reach back? You may say, how do I do that, Pastor? You do that with a prayer, and I'll help you. I'll tell you what to say. If you want a relationship with Jesus, or if you've been far away from God and you need to come home, pray this prayer with me. I'll tell you what to say right where you are. You can do it out loud. You can do it with a whisper. That's not important, but pray this prayer. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you came and died, rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all of my sins. Please forgive me. Now say this, Lord, I give my life to you right now. I don't want to live my life my way anymore. I'm all in. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, my friend, if that was you and you prayed that prayer, would you just lift your hand all across this place and say, that was me, I did. I prayed that prayer, good. Anyone else today, I prayed that prayer. Perhaps you're watching online and that was your prayer as well. I want you to notice that there is a number appearing for you. I want to invite you to text me. Text the words, I prayed, to that number. If you do that, I'm going to send you some things I've prepared just for you that will help you understand what just happened inside of your heart. And it'll help you know what to do next. It's the greatest honor of my life to help people meet Jesus and help them walk in a great relationship with him. Good for you, and I'm proud of you. High Ridge family, go ahead and look up at me if you would, and let's stand to our feet together. I'm going to invite our elders forward to be available to pray with you about anything that you might need prayer for. And as always, if you're watching today or if you have social media, even if you're in the room, if you like what you heard today, if you feel like this message is a message that people need to hear, would you do us a huge favor? Would you share this message on any social media platform that you're watching it on? It's such a huge blessing every week when we see the countries and the people and the vast thousands of people all around the world that get blessed with what is happening right here in Longview, Texas. God's doing great things here, and our message is bigger than just this room. So if you would share that on social media, it does a lot to promote the kingdom. That's a big deal. I also want to remind you that Beast Feast is coming up this next Friday. Is it Friday? Next Friday. Wow. I think there's like single-digit tickets left. Like, that's it. So this is truly your last call. We want to make sure that also that you didn't click on the wrong link. There is a fake Beast Feast called, what is it called? Festival of the Beast. Like, we're not going to Festival of the Beast. They give you a mark on your hand and on your forehead. Don't do that. That's frowned upon. I'm just kidding. Please don't go to Festival of the Beast. That's a fake website that was done to try to get people to donate money. Please don't do that. That's not what we're here to do. We're doing Beast Feast is the original. It's a men's night. We're having a wild game dinner. It's almost completely sold out. There's a lot of great things that are going to happen when men of God understand who God has called them to be and begin to get out of this masculine, toxic, crazy stuff and just get back to who God has called men to be. And so we want to join hands with other men all across this place in a non-weird way and believe that what God is going to show us is amazing. So that's happening all this next week, and so we want to encourage you to be a part of it. And then for everybody else, I'm going to pray for you and bless you as we go. Father, would you bless my friends with an incredible week, following after you, being led by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. And all of us said together, amen. God bless you as you go. I hope you have an amazing week.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.